Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. It's almost gotten to the place of... Is anybody here sick tonight? Is any of you sick? Some of you aren't observing the 6-foot rule. I may have to turn you into Nancy. I mean, it's my patriotic duty to turn you in. You know, when I was in high school, I did a senior research paper on the subject of communism. It was quite enlightening for me. And then back in the 90s when Russia was opening up as a pastor, I had an opportunity to go over and preach in several different places. And we established a church there, a mission church, and it's still going strong in Novgorod, Russia, with a national pastor. I'm proud of that, thankful for that. Our church had the largest part in doing all that. But I said that to say this, it's quite enlightening to see the tactics, the way the communists took over and the things that they did, the things they absolved and so on. And I see a lot of those characteristics happening now in the U.S. of A. The news media has been taken over and you only get what they want you to get. Our colleges and universities have become a battleground where our young people are literally transformed into citizens of the world rather than citizens of America. And there's a lot of things going on that are so sleight of hand. And during this coronavirus thing, they slipped some things in for your safety. And Nazi Germany did the very same thing. They said, it's for your safety. And they put the motivation of fear in people, and they began to work in that ploy. And getting them used to the idea. Sometimes when something comes on the horizon, we rebel and balk against it. It's so drastic. But as they keep bringing it up and bringing it up, you know, after you hear it so many times, you kind of become callous to the idea. And, well, maybe it's not so bad. And that's what they're doing in America at the present time in a lot of different ways. But nevertheless, I think the handshaking and the hugging and the closeness and the 6-foot rule and all those kinds of things had a place and a purpose if this thing was what it was meant or made out to be. I don't think that it is. I don't think any of our people have gotten sick. I don't know of not one in our church family that has come down with the sickness, not one. And the survival rate is 99.5% almost, even if you get it. In a couple of weeks, I'm ready to start hugging and handshaking again. It's just not the same when you elbow bump, huh? It's just not the same. And man, we're family. You know, I count you as my family. And I told my own mother and father one time when I went home, they said, you just stay away for so long and you're just so far out. I said, I'm just trying to do what God has for us to do. Well, you just took those grandkids and moved them away. I said, I did and God did. I just followed His direction. Well, but I said, you know, you will always be my blood family and I love you. But I have a church family that I'm concerned about as well. And I have a church family that I love and love me. And, you know, we miss you guys, but we enjoy being with our church family. And if you're sick, stay home. You know, if you're sick, stay home. I don't want anything. I don't want the hydrophobia. I don't want, you know, shingles. I don't want anything. Stay away. But if you're not sick, there should not be anything to keep us from Christian fellowship. And so in another week, I already fudged anyway. Juliet already gave me a hug. And how can you resist, you know? And no,
No. No. Yeah. No. Mo. Schmo. Moo.
Nicknames. Moo gave me a hug last week. I loved it. She came out today and she said, "We're not supposed to hug, are we?" She said, "Elbow." So we elbowed. But, you know, whether it's all right with you or not, I'm going to start handshaking and hugging. Not tonight, but next week, okay? All right. Proverbs chapter 4, I want you to look in verse 14. He says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Father, we're so grateful. I really mean that tonight. Lord, you know my heart. I'm grateful to be here among your people, to fellowship and to sense the spirit that they have, their love for you and their love for each other. And what a great fellowship that is in the family of God. We long to be here every week. We long to be with you. We long for you to manifest yourself through the word and through the song, through the music, that you'll speak to each heart, each person, each individual for the manner in which they need to be spoken. Only you know the issues they deal with, but you can solve every one. Nothing's too hard for you. Now I pray that you give preaching grace, that you give unction and zeal, that you give, Lord, your presence here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. The issues of the heart. Issues of the heart is what we speak about tonight. Proverbs says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I have to adjust my hearing aids. If I don't sound right to myself, I won't. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The word issues. Oftentimes we see words, we're not exactly sure what they mean. We think we know, and we kind of apply our own rule to it and move on. But the word issues here speak about the heart and what emanates from our hearts. And he says issues. It means literally the goings out and the about out in life. The dealings with life, the sending out with orders. From out of the heart are the issues of life. From out of the heart come your marching orders. From out of the heart come those things that are sent to us as a child of God from God. If you're not keeping your heart programmed correctly, listen, trash in, trash out. Trash in, trash out. If you're not keeping your heart with all diligence and programming and filling it with good things, you say, "Preacher, I read my devotion every morning." Look, I don't care if you read your devotion or not. I want you to read the Bible. "Well, I read three verses of scripture with my devotions." That's not enough for a child of God to live on. If you gave your body three slices of bread a day, one for breakfast, lunch, and supper, would that be good enough to sustain you? Probably not, especially since bread doesn't have good, wholesome things in it now like it used to have 100 years ago. And so you have to put good things into your heart if you expect God to give you the issues of life, the marching orders to give you the direction, the purpose, and the goals of your life. You have to keep your heart right with Him. You can't put part bad things in and part good things. You have to fill it with the things of righteousness and holiness. The Word of God. Your daily devotions can spur a thought and take you to a chapter, and pretty soon you've read three or four chapters. Godly music. My wife and I have CDs in our automobile. Our car is totaled now. We don't have a car to ride in, but we do have a nice pickup truck, and it has a CD player, and we didn't get all of our music swapped over, so we're repeating. We're over and over and repeat. But it's godly stuff. It's good stuff. And we've gotten where we've got it memorized almost. We can sing along with the songs now, which is good for my abilities because I have such a wonderful voice and I have such an inborn ability. God has given such talent. I don't know why Brother Matt doesn't use me more than he does. Only God knows. But I told my wife the other day, we were talking about those things. I said, I want a golden microphone. No one else has one. I want to be different. I want a golden mic. When I start doing my musical thing, I want a golden microphone. Not black, gold. The issues of life. So the goings out with the heart. It's about life. It's the sending out with orders that God speaks to our hearts. The psalmist says that God gives us the desires of our heart. Are you listening? He gives us the desires of our heart. Well, if you're programming your heart with right stuff, with the Word of God, with gospel music, with all the right things instead of the trash, then God brings about a purpose and a desire in your life. He gives you a throbbing desire that will not go away. And sometimes you wonder about that. Well, what is that? Why am I thinking about that? Why am I dwelling? God's trying to give you an issue in life and you're not listening. Oftentimes people say, well, God hasn't given me a purpose. Oh, yes, He has. You haven't been listening. God has a purpose for every born-again individual on the face of the earth. And we talk about the issues of life and the issues of the heart tonight that I want to talk about. Keep thy heart with all diligence. In other words, you're born again in the Spirit. Your spirit doesn't need looking out for. It's perfect. It's without sin. It's born by the very life of God Himself. You have the life of God in you. You're not born again of flesh and blood, but you're born again of the Spirit of Almighty God. You've been regenerated. It means life again, born anew. Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so we're talking about the innermost. It's almost, you know, the soul and the spirit are, for us, inseparable. So you have emotions that cloud oftentimes the direction of the Spirit as He leads and guides us. And you have these emotions that run wild if you don't keep them in check. And that's the heart of man. And He gives desires and burdens. He gave a desire for me to look for a new place, to build a new building, to sell our... I mean, this was a years... It went on for years. And God gave me the desire for the building next door. I started to bring out this morning when it was time. And one of our former members... said to me as we were trying to raise money and we were sharing the vision of the classrooms, the fellowship hall, and all the things that went on. They said, why do we need something like that? We're such a small church. And I said, we will remain a small church if we don't have something to grow into. You have to prepare for the future and you have to look to the future. And they said, well, I just don't see it. I just don't understand it. And I said, that's why God gave you a shepherd down here. And so God put a desire on my heart, and people were opposed to it, and people couldn't see the vision, and people couldn't understand it. But as soon as it got built, and as soon as we started having Sunday school again and having classes, and then when the bus ministry began to come on, suddenly that same individual came to me and said, I understand why we needed the building now. Thank you. It took them longer. But God works through the desires of your heart. Now, he's not going to give you a desire to eat a pickle with ice cream. Okay? But a desire, a godly desire, teaching a class of small kids or teaching an adult class or, you know, going soul winning and door knocking or speaking to your neighbor next door about Jesus, a desire that will not go away and will not be satisfied. Preaching the gospel was one of those for me. 7 years, and God put that desire and that burden on my heart. And finally, I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, but I have to be sure. I'm kind of thick-headed, and I have to be sure. I'm not going to do it on a whim, and I don't intend to stop. If that's what you want, I'm not going to quit tomorrow like I know that is possible. And so I just want to know if this is you or if this is me. And if it's you, the desire will get stronger as time goes on. Man, it got so bad I couldn't sleep at night. It got so bad that's what I thought about. And that might be with you. Your purpose, the desires of your heart is what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, I'm going to give you a bright green Cadillac because that's the desires of your heart. That there's nothing spiritual about that, you see. So notice, keep thy heart, protect your heart, guard your heart. When I was smaller, I heard preachers say, look, Catholicism is evil, and Catholicism has so many I went blank. What are we looking for in the last days? A turning away from the truth. Apostasy. Thank you. Catholicism has so much apostasy in it, and half-truths, and idol worship, and all this. Keep yourself from that. Stay away from that. Don't read their literature. Don't go to their activities. Don't get sucked into the goodness and the bigness that they are doing. Stay away from it. And so I kept myself away from it. And now I'm thankful, you know. Somebody says, well, I don't believe we ought to brainwash our children. They should be able to pick and choose what they want. Not in this society, not in this culture, in this day and age. They need to be trained and taught what to believe and what is right and what is truth. There is so much falsehood and apostasy there. We're not waiting for the apostasy to happen. It's already, we're in the midst of it. We have so many turning away from the truth. We're in the midst. Okay. Issues of the heart. Number one, I want you to realize that in keeping your heart and keeping it right with God, number one, there should be a song in your heart. There should be a song in your heart. There are many kinds of songs. There are those songs that sing about disappointment in life, and those songs that sing about lost love in life, and those songs that sing about hope, or sing about love, or sing about being drunk, or sing about their coon dog being run over by an old lady that was blind. There are all kinds of things. I mean, there's all kinds of songs, but there ought to be a song in your heart, a song of the high road, a song of the upper road, the song of hope, the song of truth, a song that will encourage. Your song ought to be of the upper road. David said in the 61st Psalm in verse number 2, I believe it is, Psalm 61:2, David said this in 61:2 Psalm, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Hey, the spirit of man never gets overwhelmed. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he went through that process. But the spirit of man, when he's born again, is never overwhelmed.
It's the heart of man that gets overwhelmed. There's so many things going on, and to pick and to choose. You pick the good and right way. You pick the upper road. You pick the positive road. You pick the road where nothing is too hard for our God, where our God has the best interest of us at his heart and his mind. And David said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, that's Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, the rock that is higher than I, the rock of security, the rock of stability, the rock that never changes. There he is, the rock that is higher than I. He can solve every issue, every problem. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I thought you said you were talking about a song, preacher. I am. The Psalms are songs. They were songs meant to be sung. And David writes most of them and then sings them to God and sings them to his people. And though it doesn't rhyme and we don't have the rhythm for it and so on, in the Hebrew language, he was singing this. And he was saying, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Wherever I am, no matter the situation, I find God to be God in Russia when we were there. I find God to be God down in Central Asia when we were there. I find God to be God in Israel when we're there, in Egypt and all over the world. God is still God from the ends of the earth, he said. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David said, the Lord put his feet on a rock in the 100th Psalm, 103rd Psalm, 107th Psalm. David said, the Lord has put my feet on a rock. He didn't put my feet in muck and mire. God didn't put me on a slippery slope and say, here, do the best you can. God put my feet on a solid rock. Thank God for the foundation that is Jesus Christ. You find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's the foundation that no man can lay. He's there for us. The foundation of a building is the greatest part of that building, that and the roof, the structures of the roof, the two strongest areas in your building that ties everything together. And Jesus Christ is the capstone, and he's the foundation. He's the solid rock. You and I should train our heart to take the upper road and not take the lower road in the filth of the world. I don't think I'm any better than anyone else. But as a Christian and a child of God, I think I'm a privileged individual. And I don't have to live in the muck and the mire of the rest of the world. I'm not trying to fit in. I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to fit in. You don't see any earrings in my ear, do you? I don't have any body piercings. I don't have any markings. I don't care what the rest of society or morons do. I'm not going that direction. I have a higher calling, and my family lives above that, my godly family. So you ought to have a song in your heart. Number two, the song is a song of trust. When you think about trust, you think about national security. You think about banks. You think about people you can trust, policemen and various other things. Listen, I respect the badge and I respect the uniform, but those individuals are humans just like the rest of us, and I would not necessarily entrust my small children alone with one of them alone unless I knew them very, very well. There's certain things that you just don't go beyond. I mean, not in our day and time. So the song is a song of trust. Where can I put my trust? Who can I trust? Well, Jesus said this to us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can trust him. The song that I sing is about trust in Jesus. It's so sweet to trust in him. It's a song of satisfaction. You're already in Psalm. Look at the 63rd Psalm. Look at verse number 3. In Psalm 63, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, David says to God. Thus will I bless thee while I live. When we bless God, it means literally praise Him. You can just about guarantee it. When God blesses us, it's giving us joy and happiness. Or, you know, we have happiness sometimes in possessions, and God dispenses those. He blesses us materially. He blesses us physically or mentally or whatever it might be. But David says, thus will I bless thee. I will praise thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Because God is our help. What hope do we have? My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Hey, it's a song of trust. What kind of song should we have in our heart? A song of trust, a song of hope, a song that's built around the Lord Himself. When you look at the 103rd Psalm and you look at verse number 1, Psalm 103, here David says again, bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul, not my spirit. My spirit is where we worship God. When you get born again, now you have the ability to be in contact with God. Now you have the life of God in you. You have the ability to come into His presence. You're not going through a priest or something of that nature. Now you can come into the presence of God as His holy child by Jesus' righteousness. Here David says, bless the Lord. Notice the spelling of Lord, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ. Bless, praise the Lord, O my soul. Hey, all my emotions, praising the Lord, the issues of the heart. I should train my heart to praise the Lord. Oh, it's not about myself. And I sit on the platform oftentimes, and sometimes I haven't sensed the presence of God yet, and I get desperate, and I get panicky, and I get anxious. And I say, Lord, this is not about me. This is about what we're going to give your people. This is not about me and making me look good. This is about what we feed your people. You need to show up. You need to let me know you're here. You need to help me. And I will bless you. I will praise you. I will credit you. I will lift you up. That's what we ought to be doing in our own individual hearts, is lifting the Lord up to His rightful place and praising Him for the material things He's done for us, for the jobs we have, for the husbands, the wives we have, for the children He's given to us, to praise Him, to lift Him up for the provision that He gives unto us repeatedly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, all my sins. Forgiveness. Don't forget what we said it was in Colossians chapter 1. It means that He has forgiven. It means He's taken our sins and cast them from Himself, so that all He sees in us is the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. And He loves on us. He loves on us if you let Him love on you. Oh, the issues of the heart. Notice, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Yeah, I had pizza today for lunch. Good things. My wife made one of those salads. Some people, when they say, hey, would you like a salad? Yes. It's lettuce, maybe tomato. Are you kidding me? That's not a salad. My wife takes the time to peel the cucumbers and slice them and dice them. She puts cucumbers in. She puts diced tomatoes in. She puts carrots in. She puts the lettuce there and shreds it up. And then we put grapes in that. Sometimes we put apples in there. And we have those cran raisins we put in that with balsamic vinegar. And man, it'll make you slap your mama. It's so good. Ooh. And I had that with pizza. Hey,
The Lord blessed me that I could go out and buy pizza and have a great salad like that when I got home. Oh, yeah, it makes you want to praise the Lord even right now in all of his goodness. Look in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. What are we talking about? We're talking about the issues, the outflowing of the heart. We're talking about keeping our heart and keeping it in rhythm with God. We're talking about it being programmed rightly, and there should be a song of praise and song of blessing in our heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5 and 18, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There you go. It's a predetermined thing. I am born again. Now I'm going to do what it takes to make my body in subjection and in submission so that God will fill that temple with his presence. It's not worldly, it's not filthy, it's not filled with garbage, and my heart is not filled with worldly stuff. It's right with him and in tune with him, and he fills it with his presence, with his Spirit. Notice, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, not carnal songs, not Chet Atkins or I don't know. All I know is the old guys. I don't know the new ones that's come out. Johnny Cash and all those folks, you know. Well, preacher, it's country music. No, it ain't country music. It's trash music. It's about running off with somebody else's wife and getting drunk on the way home and, you know, all those kinds of things. No. But he says, speaking to yourselves in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, being the great musician that I am and being the great singer and so on that I am, I could tell you off the cuff what all that means, but I just kind of took a picture of the... Melody. Melody is an agreeable succession of sounds. A succession of sounds so regulated and modulated as to please the ear. Kathy and I will start home in the truck in a little while. And I have to tell you that they have spiritual bluegrass. I like spiritual bluegrass. And sometimes they get a little whangy, but it's still spiritual. I like spiritual bluegrass, and so I start singing along, and I don't make very good melody. It kind of cracks, and it kind of squeaks and squawks, and she just sits there, and she starts shaking her head and laughing, and that's the whole purpose. I just want a good laugh out of it. But melody doesn't mean the squeaking, the squawking, the scratching. It means a pleasurable sound to the ear, how one transition blends with another and it flows easily along, making melody, he said, in your heart, melody. I love that. And he said, melody differs from harmony as it consists in the agreeable succession and modulation of sounds by a single voice. Harmony consists in the accordance of different voices or sounds coming together. So it's like one voice. It's like one heart that is in melody with God. And this is what he's saying. He's saying making melody in your heart. In other words, there's a sweet outflowing in your heart towards God. It's not a squeaking and a scratching and a cracking of worldly stuff, an invasion of spiritual and worldly. It's all about being right with him, programming your heart right, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's like praising him. That's like singing to him
and saying, that's what David was saying in all the Psalms. When my heart is upset, when I'm far off, I cling to you and I sing to you and I come to you who's the rock of my... That's what David was saying, praising God through the melody of your heart. Not necessarily the song, not the singing of the song, but he's using the application of singing and melody that your heart ought to be in tune with God, that it transitions so easily and so softly right into praising and worshiping and fellowshipping with God. You're so familiar with him and you're so easy at singing that song, you know, like you can transition. I envy people who can transition from one to another and their voice doesn't crack. It's strong and it's pretty and it goes on in that direction. Your heart is the same way. It's not half filled with worldliness and half filled with spirituality. It's been programmed by what you put into it. You've been careful about it. You've guarded your heart so that there's not an evil that's going to rise up all of a sudden. And so you, when the time comes, you can have melody in your heart to God. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's what he says and that's what he tells us. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only should there be a song in your heart, but there should be a dream in your heart. We're talking about the issues of the heart. There should be a dream in your heart. No man ever went beyond his own expectations of himself. Some people cut themselves way too short because they do not expect that God's going to be involved in it. Oftentimes people see their own inabilities as being a barrier to them ever doing anything that is good or profitable. They sell themselves way too short because they cannot see or understand that God can take over and God can use and cut. Look, remember the potter's house? And God said, look, the potter started making a vessel and it all blew apart on the wheel. It was not what he intended, but he put what he had and gathered it back up and got rid of the lump and he started building a different vessel, nevertheless a vessel of usefulness. It might not have been what he intended for it to be, but he still could put the pieces together, having all the pieces, and make it a useful vessel for God's honor. You may not be everything that you were supposed to be, but if you'll give God all the pieces that are left over, he can still remake and make a valuable vessel out of your life and out of mine. There should be a dream. And no man ever goes beyond the expectations of himself. There's a holy, righteous, honest, truthful, giving programming of self. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm not just a worm on the face of the earth. I'm a child of God. That makes me an heir to the King. You know? And I have to remind myself that God the Father hath made him the Son sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God through him and in him. And so I'm righteous in the sight of God. I'm a righteous individual. And though I'm not perfect, and though I do have sin, and though I have sinned, and though I have made bad choices before, I have to program my heart to believe that I am righteous in the eyes of the Father, and he wants fellowship with me based upon what I get out of this book. I don't understand why he wants it. I don't understand why he would put up with me, but he loves me unconditionally the same way he loves you unconditionally. And so I program my heart to be holy, to be righteous, to be thoughtful, to be truthful, to be honest. Because I'm representing my Father on the face of the earth, and I want to make a good representation. I don't want to say something that I'll be sorry for. I don't want to do something that's dishonest and cover it all up and somebody find out years later how dishonest I was. I would rather them accuse me of dishonesty, which has actually happened in the past, And then as time goes on, I've been exonerated because truthfulness finally comes out and God's blessings upon the life and upon the ministry has been proven again and again that, you know, God is with us. That's where I'd rather be. There should be a dream in your heart. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. He says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You know, not everyone that dreamed about going to the moon has ever gone to the moon. But if you don't dream it, you certainly will not ever, ever have a chance of getting there. It doesn't, Curtis Hudson used to say so many years ago, it doesn't cost any more to dream big than it does to dream small. It doesn't cost more to dream of flying with eagles than buzzards or anything else. I had a saying that kind of goes along with that. You know, God's prophets don't fly in flocks. Eagles don't fly in flocks. Buzzards do. That ought to tell you something. Buzzards do. There should be a dream in your heart. The dream should include the ideal. We have high school graduates, we have college graduates, we have people getting married now, and so on and so on. There ought to be a dream in your heart about life's companion, who he is or she is, what you desire, what God desires for you to have. I know I had a list of things that I wanted in a wife. And it was not a material list. I had it in my mind. But I had some things. And when I would meet someone that didn't match up, I'd just say, they're nice, they're very kind, they're very nice, but not the one for me, and move on. And some people are constantly looking at the next one that comes to the door as a possible candidate for matrimony. That should not be your goal. You should have a standard of things, but you should wait for God to reveal the one that he has for you. And God is never late and God is never early. Don't be so antsy about it. The hardest thing for you to do in life is to wait upon God. The absolute hardest thing is to wait upon God. But I know from experience, but I know through the past, that God is always there. There's an ideal dream of your life's companion. And you should have a high road list of those things. There should be the dream in your heart of your career and what you see yourself doing down the road and what you want to do in life. And does that match up with God's plan for you? Is that what God wants for you? I've seen people totally miserable in life, making money hand over fist and not happy with it because that was their goal. But it was not God's plan for their life. I met with a doctor this past week, and I told my wife, I said, he's just so busy. He's so kind, so compassionate. There's very few doctors that I've ever met that I really, really was drawn to and I really liked. But this is one of them. So anyway, I met this guy, and he talked about the fact, he said, I want to tell you my life story. He said, you'll be interested in it, because I told him he's actually Spanish. He's Mexican, Cervera, but he is a great doctor. And he wanted to go back to Mexico and help his people and not take a salary, not be paid, just go down and help people there. Found out he was from Monterey. I've been to Monterey so many times. I told him places there. I said Horsetail Falls, Allende, orange growing area, Saltillo. He said, yes, yes, yes. He said, you've been there, you've been there. I said, I have. He said, I want to tell you my story. I told my wife, I said, a doctor's like a preacher. Oftentimes they're not in it for the money. They're not in it for climbing the ladder of success. They're in it because they have a passion for the work. They have a passion for people. They have a passion to teach or to train or or to help physically and so on. And this was his go and his dream. He said, I want to tell you my story. He said, I was told years ago by a man of God that I would never retire, but I would die as a doctor, and that I would be a doctor of such quality and so on. He said, I've striven in my life to be that very thing. And he's done very well. So you have to see yourself and dream big in your heart. Think the possibilities according to God. You need to dream of your career. What does God want for you? Don't listen to others who say, man, you can make a... I'm so disappointed. One doctor of chiropractic who I had been going to, he thought that he was going to have me as a partner. He wanted to send me to Iowa to the great chiropractic school there in Davenport and become a doctor of chiropractic, come back, practice with them. He paid my way through school, blah, blah, blah. And I went in and told him, I said, I'm going to be a preacher. A what? A preacher. You can't make any money being a preacher. You'll starve to death. All I got to say is, look at this. It looks like I'm starving. Marvin, does it look like I'm starving? I've been so many places and done so many things because I took God's high road rather than the road that man thought I should go. And that ought to be the dream of our life. Is I want to do the most and the best and the biggest I can, but I want to do it with God's approval. What do you want, God? The dream of your career. Listen to your heart and your desires. Abraham Lincoln said, I will prepare myself and someday my chance will come. If I could say anything to young people and young marriages and people about to start off and transition into a different style of life, I would say, prepare, 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 prepare. Knowledge is power. The more you know, the better off you are. Prepare yourself. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do in life. Education, educate. Learn about, mechanicking on a car. Learn about plumbing. Learn about electricity. Learn about everything, everything, so that you can be a little bit of everything in every direction. Prepare yourself and your chance will come. You know, it takes training to make a great career. And even doctors and preachers do not ever arrive. It is an ongoing training. It is sometimes an ongoing self-study, self-education, but nevertheless, it continues on. Dream. Dream of the ideal home in your heart. God has an order of things. It's a husband and a wife and children. God never made the order of two husbands, two daddies, or two mamas. It's always been a husband and a wife, one man, one wife, producing children. And then that doesn't make for the perfect home. The ideal home in your heart must be and must have God at the head of it and in control of all things. There can be such compassion and such kindness and such energy and such love within a home where God rules and reigns. Dream in your heart. Have a desire for that kind of home, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Dream about the service that you're going to give God someday. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, he talks about saving us by grace. But he also talks about us as being an instrument saved to serve him. We are saved to serve. We're not saved to sit. We're not saved to be critics. We're not saved to judge. We're not saved to be entertained. We are saved to serve Him, serving Him and loving Him. And then the last thing I have for you. Not only should there be a song in your heart, not only should there be a dream in your heart, but lastly, you ought to have a name in your heart. You ought to have a name in your heart. In Philippians chapter 3, the book of Philippians, Paul wrote it, of course. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them all but dung, that I may win Christ. You ought to have a name in your heart that is above all names. That name is Jesus, of course. And like Paul and others, in verse 9, Paul says, and be found in him as having, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is wrought through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You ought to have a name in your heart, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. So often in life, temptation comes. So often in life, tragedies come. So often in life, detours come. But this is sure. That song says, take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. The name of Jesus, the name that's a haven in life's storms, the name that can speak to the wind and to the seas and make them calm, the precious name of Jesus. There ought to be a name in your heart. And Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, Paul writes and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And then we think about verse 13, taken out of context oftentimes, but nevertheless, the same application where it says, I can do all things through Christ. Hey, look, if God has put the desire in your heart to do it, you can do it. I promise you. You may be ignorant and unlearned. You might be the highest of all educated people, but lack confidence. If God put it in your heart, I promise you, you can accomplish it through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, you find that name that's above all names. The book of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 10. We find the apostles having just healed an individual, and now they're being questioned about it. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, yeah. There's a motto that is given for life that Jesus gives us. There's a verse that's a motto that we ought to have, not only his name, but the motto in our heart, and nourish it, fertilize it, water it, weed it, and keep everything from hindering the motto that Jesus Christ has given to his disciples. In Matthew chapter number 6, in verse 33, you and I know it pretty much by heart, but he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So often we think we have to have a high paying career. No, sir. I say, go where the passion of your heart lies. You must be passionate about what you do, or it will never be successful. Go where the passion of your heart lies and where God leads. Listen to this motto. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, given unto you. I close with this poem. Listen to it. I had walked life's way with an easy tread, had followed where comforts and pleasures led, until one day in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul, I had entered to win in life's mad race when I met the Master face to face. I had built my castles and reared them high till their towers pierced the blue of the sky. I had sworn to rule with an iron mace when I met the Master face to face. I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day, while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place, naught else could I see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, oh, make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet. My thought is now for souls of men. I've lost my life to find it again. Ere since one day in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. Yeah, okay. So the psalmist says in the Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life is God speaking to us, giving us orders, directions, purpose, plan, and we can't hear it because our heart is clouded over with the weeds of the world and worldly care. God tries to direct, and God does have a plan, but we haven't kept our hearts. We haven't been careful to pour in that which we want to get back. Oftentimes we look at the fancies of the world and how much fun the world is having, and we dare but taste it just for a moment, just to test it, like the prodigal did. And we find ourselves ensnared if we're not careful to be diligent to take care of our hearts, else we lose them. I did not say lose salvation, but lose our hearts and go down in defeat, despair, anxiety, and frustration. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues that emanate from God. The issues for a child of God, where he's giving to us through our desires, through our burdens, through our passions, God is guiding and directing us. It's not always with an audible word that God speaks, but through the issues of the heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the message tonight. Thank you for making plain the truths and how delicate and sensitive our hearts really are, and how we should guard them and take care of them as a child of God, that we find that we do not allow Satan to sow the tares there that will grow and cause us problems later. Forgive our sin. Bring us back to your side. As we draw near unto you, draw near unto us, O God. Show us your love and your passion. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. We give you the praise in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Let's stand and sing tonight.